Our message tonight is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Living protected from carnal divisions by relying on the Holy Spirit's power and wisdom. Functioning by means of the sin nature, what we call carnality, is often a challenge in today's churches. 1 Corinthians was written to carnal believers according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And the passage that we have here tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 to 16, shows how the believer can live protected from carnal divisions as he functions in the Holy Spirit's power and wisdom. It's amazing how many people are hurt in divisions that occur in churches. I've heard of all sorts of stories and splits in churches. And sometimes the church splits will actually affect families. Marriages will break up over this stuff. It's just tragic. Well, we view this passage to discern the path to a life that lives protected from divisions caused by carnality. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect, a better translation would be mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with, or giving spiritual things to spiritual men, literally. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual and judgeth should be translated discern all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man. It's the same word that appears in verse 14. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may be in, or he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Tremendous passage of scripture. I've used it many times. We before learned that Paul's readers faced divisions in their midst since they exalted worldly wisdom. We learned that in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. So, as we learned in our last lesson, Paul countered their exaltation of worldly wisdom by extolling God's wisdom over man's wisdom. Now, that wisdom of God was a wonderful wisdom that led the believer who tapped into it to live protected from harm and spiritual defeat as the believer relied on the Holy Spirit's power and wisdom. It's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit who indwells us is God. He's God, the Holy Spirit. We know that from Acts chapter 4. Remember where Ananias and Sapphira had lied? And Peter said, you've not lied, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And in lying to the Spirit, you haven't lied unto men, you've lied unto God. So that means the Holy Spirit is God. We have the Holy Spirit, who's God, indwelling us. And God who indwells us equips us to have the discernment that we need so that we can avoid problems when carnality happens to pop up. Well, Paul explained that among the mature, teleos is a word, I know it's translated perfect, and it can mean perfect, but there's no such thing as a perfect Christian. So a better translation is those who are mature. So Paul explained that among mature, the apostles imparted wisdom, but not the wisdom of the current worldly era of its rulers who were doomed to pass away in divine judgment. Rather, Paul held that the apostles imparted a wisdom that was secret and hidden to the world, a wisdom of God that he decreed before the ages of human history for our glory in the church era. I don't know if you picked that up. And verse 7, the last phrase, for which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. God in his unmerited favor towards us, has designed that we would get to know this wisdom of God, where the world doesn't have a clue as to what's going on. But we would have this wisdom, and it would be for our glory. God is sharing, allowing us to share in some of the glory that he has. I was just talking to my wife about this. A Roman general, an unsaved, godless Roman general one time, was trying to describe for the Roman emperor what a Christian was. And he concluded, he said, "Christians are people who know each other before they meet." Now, we all know what he's talking about because we see this. We run into a Christian or Christians that maybe we're out somewhere up in upstate New York or Vermont or Pennsylvania. We go out and we go into a church of Bible-believing Christians. We don't know them. They don't know us. But they find out that you're Christians. Hey, you're just part of the group automatically. You're just, bam, right there. That's the spirit. Well, this unsaved Roman general noticed this characteristic about Christians in the first century. And that's how he described what a Christian was. And that's because there's a wisdom that is imparted. There's a knowledge of the things of the Spirit of God that the unsaved world has no clue to. They sense something, but they don't know what it is. Now, Paul held that the apostles imparted a wisdom that was secret and it was hidden to the world, but it was for our glory and it's revealed to us. Now, this divine wisdom, number three, this divine wisdom was never understood by the rulers of the world. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Like Isaiah 64:6 taught, and Paul cited it freely, "No earthly human eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." It's amazing the truth that God can reveal to us, the spiritual truth, and we deal with this on a constant basis in our church. We deal with it in our Sunday school classes. We do it worship services. We do it ladies' Bible studies, vacation Bible school, you name it. We're all the time dealing with truth that the world just doesn't tap into. But God has prepared that for those who love him. Now, these wonderful truths, hidden even to the lost world's rulers, has been revealed to us, believers, through the Holy Spirit, who searches all things, even the hidden depths of God. That's a wonderful truth. That encouraged me when I was trying to solve this issue of Calvinism versus Arminianism and the will of man and so forth. The Apostle Paul, here in verse 10, says that God, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the depths of God. So I had confidence that if I followed the Spirit's leading, he would lead me to understand this whole issue of election and predestination. And he did. It took a number of years, but he did. And another issue that used to bother me is in John chapter 3, where it says, where Jesus was saying, you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And there were all sorts of ideas as to what water and Spirit meant and so forth. That used to bother me intently until one day I recognized Jesus was speaking to a ruler of the Jews. And to a ruler of the Jews, water and the Spirit, that goes immediately back to the book of Ezekiel, where God says, I'm going to wash you with clean water and put my Spirit within you and a new heart within you. And so it was a figure of speech referring to cleaning. Doesn't deal with baptism at all, and people have gotten mixed up on that, but God reveals these truths. So to explain this deep searching ministry of the Holy Spirit, Paul noted that just as no one but the person's spirit knows the thoughts of a person, so no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we believers have received the Holy Spirit from God, not the spirit of this world, so we can understand the spiritual truths that are freely given to us by God. And the apostles imparted these truths, interpreting spiritual truths to spiritual men. The last word spiritual in verse 13 is pneumatikos. And the very spelling of that word means it could be either masculine or gender neuter. You have masculine, feminine, and neuter genders in Greek. But in this case, it's either masculine and neuter. Well, it has to be masculine in gender versus the neuter gender, which is spelled the same way, because the word spiritual men should be interpreted because verse 13 parallels with verse 6 where Paul wrote of the mature. So these are the mature, these are the spiritual believers. However, the natural man, psychikos, we get the word psychology from this. Psychikos deals with the natural psyche of a person, that believers and unbelievers both have a psyche. Okay, who lives and thinks only in the natural plane. And it's interesting that both the unbeliever who does not have the Holy Spirit at all, and also the carnal believer who does not function by means of the Holy Spirit, they both operate in terms of this natural man. You know how I know that? Because if I look at verse 3 of the next chapter, chapter 3, you notice it says, "For you are yet carnal," that means you're controlled by your sin nature, "for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you carnal and walk, are you not carnal and walk as men," as anthropoi, that means as walk as unsaved people. So a believer can actually think like and act like an unbeliever. And when he's out of fellowship with Christ, you can't tell if he's saved or not by that action itself. And so it's very interesting, the natural man, and this tells us that if a person is carnal, he's not taking in the things of the Spirit of God. He's blocked to that. So the natural man does not receive the things of God's Spirit, for they're foolishness to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And the word anakrino is the word discerned. And anakrino appears not only in verse 14, but it appears in verse 15 twice. It's the word that's translated judgeth, but it's the same word anakrino. And so I've translated it in both all three places as discerned, so we get the feel for what's really going on in this passage. So this is so because no one has understood the mind of the Lord to be able to instruct him. But we believers have the mind of Christ, and we understand that divine mind when we rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, if a believer relies on the Holy Spirit so that he discerns all things, he discerns the carnal mind. Even if a great person in this world's estimation has that carnal mind. See, you could walk into, let's say, the White House, and let's say the next president of the United States, whoever that person is. And if that person is not operating by means of the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, you'll pick that up right away. And you'll be able to say, this person's carnal. And you'll be able to discern that, and you'll be able to set up your defense mechanism right away so that you can protect yourself and live above the carnality. That's the beauty. As a Christian, you have this honing device that's built within you, is the Holy Spirit. And when you're relying on the Holy Spirit, that honing device, it protects you. Now, the godly one himself is never able to be rightly discerned by any carnal party. You'll notice, he that is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man. A carnal Christian or a carnal person, an unsaved person, doesn't understand you. It's very interesting. I've been to see a medical doctor who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Very intelligent man. But he tries to explain things in the spiritual realm, and I'm sitting there thinking, whew, this is off in left field. And he's gotten to the point where he can read my face, and he says, he says, apparently I don't know. And I can't begin to explain, you know, I'm being polite, I'm listening, but I just go, my face goes, you know. And he's picked it up. He can read it. He's very, very sharp that way. But he actually flounders when it comes to the spiritual realm. He's very intelligent, but when it comes to the spiritual thing, there's nothing there because he doesn't know the Lord. And a child in our Sunday school class would pick that up. They could tell him going off in the left field like that because they've got the Spirit of God. So it's an amazing thing. And that person does not understand you, the carnal person. The godly himself is not able to be rightly discerned by any carnal party. So the godly, this is interesting, he's able to live separate from the destructive mind of carnality. And as such, he avoids the pain of being subjected to the hurtful effects of carnal church divisions. I'll never forget, many years ago, we were in an annual meeting in a church. It happens to be our church here. This is years ago, a completely different set of people than what we had. And I saw carnality starting to raise its head, and I thought, oh boy, we're going to be getting into trouble. I could tell by the way the conversations were going, people were speaking, we're going to get into trouble. And I turned to my wife and I said, watch, you're going to see something here. And sure enough, it came, boom. It came to the fore and so forth like that. And the moderator who was here at the time really had trouble knowing how to deal with it. He asked Nadine and me to leave because he knew it was going to get real dicey. So we went out and we could hear it and so forth. But I shared with Dane, you're going to see something. There's a bubble that's going to burst here shortly, and sure enough, boom, the bubble burst. You could see it. We went to prayer. You could see what was going on. But you can see that, and when you see it, you can avoid the hurt of it because you live above it. You know what's going on. You can also love the people who are involved in this. So the lesson is, though the carnal believer functions like the unsaved in relying on the worldly wisdom that leads to carnal divisions in the body of Christ, the spiritual Christian, understanding the mind of God that discerns the sin of the carnal, is able to discern the carnality that he sees in the divisions that he witnesses around him, so as to live separate from the damaging values and thinking of carnality, and thus be protected from the carnal divisions themselves. Also, this equips the spiritual person to add to the peace and to be a nurturer, because he sees the problem and he knows that we need to deal with it. And instead of subjecting himself to carnality and adding to the problem, he can actually help solve it. So may we rely on the Holy Spirit of God to discern God's truths as well as carnal error for blessing. And may we continue to rely on the Holy Spirit of God as a way of life to avoid needless sin and hurt. It's interesting, when we talk about relying on the Holy Spirit, it's something that is necessary for our walk, absolutely necessary, because it affects our relationships, it affects our effectiveness for the Lord, it affects our thinking, it affects whether we get hurt or not, whether we can live above hurt. So it's very, very important that we continue to rely on the Spirit of God, and that we sense the need to rely on the Spirit of God as a way of life, that we avoid needless sin and hurt.